Welcome to The Jones Zone, a podcast by Daryl and JJ Jones, your resource for building wealth and knowledge in everything real estate. Your host, Daryl Jones, a top Orange County real estate agent, has been supporting homeowners for over 30 years. He is here to share his tips and advice, as well as insights from industry experts, to help you take your real estate game to the next level. Now, here's your host, Daryl Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Jones Zone. We've got a lot going on in California with the insurance companies. It's become a lot more difficult to obtain homeowner insurance. I'm sure many of you have seen your rate increases. So I felt it was very, very important to get my insurance agent. Not only is she my insurance agent, she's extraordinarily knowledgeable. In fact, former mayor of Placentia and current city council member, Rhonda Shader, who's with State Farm. She's going to shed some light on what is going on here in California with insurance companies. I mean, we've had to have such a challenge with people finding insurances when they're buying their homeowners insurance when they're buying a new home. So I'd like to introduce Rhonda. Thanks, Rhonda, for showing up today and helping us out and giving us your insight, your expert knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. I feel very akin to, you know, not just real estate, but also to our homeowners who find themselves in a position that they probably don't ever remember being in. And that's the fact that we just literally do not have a home insurance market today. You know, in the last couple of decades, the insurance market has been so robust. You could get insurance anywhere, right? You could walk into Costco and get it. And so I've had a lot of competition. And you know what? That's great for the market. That's great for our consumers. It keeps prices competitive. But at the end of the day, insurance works differently than a lot of other products, right? So many of you know, you'll pay into insurance for your home maybe your entire life and never use it. And statistically, that's a great probability. And that's how this market works. But if you are the one that gets your house burned down, we all help you pay for that because you will never pay enough premiums to pay back your insurance company for replacing your entire house and all your belongings, right? So it's kind of like insurance is a product where we're all in this together. And we leverage that risk and the statistics of that risk to keep insurance affordable and to allow insurance companies to have enough reserves to handle the losses that come their way. So we've had an interesting thing happen the last 5 years. We've had an insurance commissioner, and let me just caveat this by saying, you heard I'm an elected official, so I'm very politically involved and very in tune with what's going on in Sacramento. I'm not a spokesperson for State Farm, but I have been a State Farm agent for over 15 years. And so I know the extraordinary place we find ourselves in this market because I've been doing this for a long time. And so when I speak to you today, a lot of it is, it's my perspective. It's not what State Farm would say. So I just want to make sure that people are clear on that because I do want to get candid with you because I think people deserve that. They deserve authenticity at this moment, and they deserve the truth. And today we've had a insurance commissioner who is an elected position in California. This people of the state of California voted this person in not once, but twice for him to continue on. And in my opinion, he hasn't been doing the job that we need the insurance commissioner to do. And by that, what do I mean? Things happen in the marketplace. Things happen with the insurance companies, things happen with consumers. His job is to mediate it all and find a happy middle ground where nobody's taking advantage of anybody else, right? He's the elected. His job is to do that. So when we go back to these horrible wildfires back in 1718, I believe it is, billions, the word B as in boy, billions of dollars of losses for insurance companies, right? And you guys remember Paradise, entire towns being taken down, things like that. There's going to be a reckoning of where are we at after an event like that, and what do we do? And one of the very first things that I believe was a trigger point right after this insurance commissioner got elected was he asked the insurance companies to do more than their contract required. So when you have homeowners insurance with an insurance company, that says, we're going to do X for you. We're going to pay this for your house. We're going to pay for you to do this, pay for you to do that. And you have this agreement with them that if something happens to me, this is how you're going to come to my rescue, right? And the insurance company rates for that contract. So if an insurance commissioner comes in and says, I know your contract says that, but this was really bad and I want you to do more, that's really devastating to insurance companies. It messes with their whole number. They can't go back to you and say, hey, the insurance commissioner made us give you this much instead of this much, so now we're going to need more premium. Like, that's not the way it works, right?
Yeah, because it's simple math.
The insurance company said, hey, remember that rate you paid in 2018? Well, now in 2020, we realize we had to do more because of the state of California told us we had to, and we didn't get enough premium for that. Like, it's kind of hard to understand, and people are like, insurance companies are so big, but there's still a delicate balance we pay because we have to be ready for the next paradise and the next paradise and the next paradise.
Fire.
And you want us to be ready, because if it's your house that burns down, you want that money to be on hand, right?
So bottom line, he required the, or was telling the insurance companies they have to do this, X, Y, Z. Insurance company said, hey, that we can't do that. That doesn't fit in, that the math doesn't make sense. And then insurance companies basically exited the state. Is that fair to say?
Well, no, there's a lot more to it than that. Okay. But I think that was the initial trigger, is he wanted to change the rules of a contract between a private company and their customer, if that makes sense to you.
Okay. Yeah.
And he did it. And so immediately there's losses upon losses upon losses in that moment. Then you put on top of it the last couple of years of inflation. Insurance companies have asked for rate changes based on the wildfires, based on different things. And I know you say some rates have gone up, and there are some targeted areas where rates have gone up. There are some companies in particular who've gotten rate changes, but the majority have not been processed. He literally has not been moving along and addressing an insurance company's ask for a rate increase movement. You know, there's a lot more than just, I'm going to raise your rates. There's a lot of different criteria that goes into it. As you know, one of the things we did get, which you may be feeling, is if you live in a wildfire area, right, we got you certain discounts, but then we also got you an upcharge because of where you live, because your risk is higher. And so he said, well, that's fair. So that people are feeling, but across the board, when you talk about inflation, that's everybody. Okay. That's, it takes twice as much to build a house today as it used to. And so the insurance companies are like, hey, we're bleeding. And at State Farm, they were bleeding like to the tune of like $20 million a week. Like, they waited so long before they said, we got to tap out. And they kept telling the insurance commissioner, please look at our rates, like, we need help. And he did not want to raise rates. He did not want to do that, which doesn't make any sense. We don't like it, but everything's gone up. Milk, eggs, used cars, everything's gone up in the last couple of years, right? It's just where we find ourselves in the economy. And the insurance companies are lagging in that. They're not getting the money they want. So at some point, they've got to stop the bleeding because they have a book of clients that they must deliver for, right? Today, if something happens, they have to. And State Farm is the largest insurer in California and the nation. So when we do something, right, it affects the marketplace really big. But before we did it, Allstate left, Farmers partially left, Costco left, Progressive
and when you say,
left,
when you say
Geico
left,
they've gone
in the last year,
and
two
some
years?
Have been in the last year and a half, 2 years.
Okay.
So, but nobody noticed the way they did when State Farm did it, right? Because that's big news. So when State Farm said it, now all of a sudden, right, it becomes big news, and now they're starting to backtrack. And a lot of other insurance companies did follow suit because, you know, the writing was just on the wall, you know. And they got to be careful. And so there's a lot of rules in California that are different than in any other state that make it very difficult to do business here as an insurance company. But if you can get the rate for it, right, you can make it work. But if you're not getting the rate for it, now you've got four problems, like, you know, because insurance companies reinsure, and there's some technical things that go into it. But, you know, there's probably five or six things that brought us here. But what I would like people to know is that it was not for lack of trying from the insurance company's part. It just takes a lot of leadership courage from an elected official to raise rates, to agree to allow those things to process.
Just to let the free market take place somewhat. I mean, like I had mentioned, math doesn't lie. I mean, there's a math equation. It's simple math, isn't it? I mean, really boils down to some simple math somewhat in terms of...
It's exactly math. It's statistical probability. And these insurance companies hire the best statistics people because they must predict what's going to happen.
It's largely the wildfires that's caused it. In other words, if mudslides been a big problem as well, or any other events that have caused
not
some problems?
As much, because your standard homeowner's policy is not going to cover a mudslide event.
Okay.
That would be flood, because that's an outside the house issue. And that already went. You know what happened to flood insurance. All the insurance companies said, we can't take this anymore. We can't even rate for it. And the federal government stepped in and created the National Insurance Flood Program, right? So if you want flood insurance today, that's where you go get it.
Wow. It's almost as though they have an agenda to take it out of the private market.
I don't know what their agenda is with regard to that. But of course, we're going to talk a little bit later about something similar to that in California as well.
Who's writing policies? There are a lot of companies, well, you just mentioned, that are left California, so they're no longer writing policies. Now, is State Farm writing homeowners insurance or other?
So there is availability. It's just very limited. So people don't have a lot of choices. I do understand Southern California Auto Club, which is a much smaller company. They are writing a limited number of policies. The requirements to get in there are very stringent and the prices are pretty high, but it's available. And then what I'm doing is connecting with insurance brokers that write with a lot of carriers. I've always had those relationships because State Farm can't do everything. And brokers are building relationships with carriers that are still willing to write. So to keep it simple, it's just a different type of insurance, because when you go to a State Farm or a Farmers or somebody like that, you get a homeowner's package and it covers everything you need, everything you would commonly need when you have any type of standard loss that we're going to cover, right? There's multiple sections in there. You may have gone over it with your agent one day and found out, oh, I got that. You're going to do this, you know, if something happens. When you work with these other carriers, the coverage may not be as robust. It's not going to be more a package. It's going to look different, but structurally you can get the home covered, which is important, obviously, for the real estate market. So if you move, and it's really important to be on top of that, because in the past you could rely on especially your in-house agents like me, like a State Farm agent. If you forgot to tell that you were in escrow and you need insurance, you could call me and I could write you a house that day. Okay. So you had room to mess up on the insurance part of your escrow, right?
But now it takes.
But today you can't do that. This needs to be one of the very first things that you address is, can I find insurance for this house?
Yeah. I've instructed my escrow officers, look, get on top of this homeowner's insurance right away, because people are having to check with multiple people, have to apply.
Yes.
And it's not like you mentioned, it wasn't a one day thing. Heck, we used to not even have to worry about that till towards the end of escrow. You call the insurance agent, boom, it's done. Now it's taking a lot longer.
Yeah. Insurance used to be a no brainer. And it's just not today, which is a big switch. So it's got to come up the list. My daughter just closed on a place and the very last thing that she was able to get was insurance. And she, of course, ended up having to go with the FAIR plan. Nobody else would write the place that she bought.
Are there any things that a homeowner can do for a house? So, for example, I have a friend of mine who works in the for the oil company. They have a special foam, apparently, for all the oil. Because obviously, if there's a big fire through where oil rigs are and oil companies and all that, you know, you're talking about some severe tragedies with those things exploding. And they have this foam. He was telling me how they have this foam that covers the oil Derek or whatever heck you call it, or the tank, and it prevents it from catching fire and wildfires. Why can't a homeowner put some sort of system in there? I know, for example, I have sprinklers at my house in the interior, but this was for the exterior. Is there anything that a homeowner, what can a homeowner do to reduce or increase the likelihood of being able to get homeowners insurance?
Well, there's a lot of things they can do, actually. So, and that has always been the case. And then I mentioned earlier that when those wildfires happened and insurance companies needed to recoup some costs, what we did is we raised rates, but we also gave a discount for our wildfire. So if you're in a wildfire area, which could just be hilly, brushy, doesn't mean you live in the forest.
Yeah, Yorba Linda, Anaheim Hills, Fullerton.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All of those areas are considered to be somewhat brush/wildfire areas, potentially. And having the boundary around your house, right? Keeping it trimmed away from the house, so there's not a lot to catch on fire behind there.
You say boundary. Does that mean just... it's funny, interesting, because I know that a few years back when one of the fires came through, the news was talking about how this new home builder actually put fire-resistant plants around the house. And that's what you mean by that?
Yes. And sprinklers matter. And yes, how you landscape matters, the eaves on your house, the type of roof that you have, all of those things are taken into consideration. And if your community is well done, we now have a thing called your community can apply to be a wildfire community. And I may be getting the wording a little bit skewed on that, but basically I have a list where I can look and say, is your neighborhood in this wildfire community? I actually wrote somebody in Glendale and they were in it. And what it means is like their HOA or their area qualified because they take care of the whole area. They make sure that it's landscaped well, that the hillsides behind the houses are mowed, you know, on a regular basis. And they had to qualify for people to get this discount. And so those are a couple of new things that have come on. They have this device now called Ting, and you plug it into your house, your electrical, and it will pre-notify you if there's going to be some sort of surge or something that could cause a fire inside your house. So it's a safety device, and the insurance companies will partner with you to put that in your house if you're willing. So they're trying to come up with a lot of new ideas. And, you know, I think today more and more home builders, like you said, that are building on these hillsides and stuff are trying to be cognizant of the problem, you know, that it causes. But even to keep your insurance, you have to do some of these things. Sometimes I have to send my customers a list and say, okay, they sent a drone out to your house.
I was going to say, for the first time ever.
And you need to mow and you need to change your landscaping and there's a pile of wood and you need to move it. Yeah,
we're getting that. I mean, we had never had appraisers. Whenever we do a transaction, sell a house, we've always had the appraisers come over, home inspectors, termite, etc. However, I don't recall, other than possibly driving by and taking a quick picture of the house, but it seems as though the insurance companies are a lot more thorough. They're coming out and actually sending inspectors to look at the property, drones, etc., which is a big change.
Yeah, because they need to understand the risk they're up against, you know, with your home. So that's the other thing, is you cannot move to a hillside with a bunch of brush on it. Stay
but
in
I
the
like hillsides.
For the rest of us.
Yeah, that's an option, I suppose. So there are some things you can do. Enclose your eaves. Now, what about back to that foam thing? Sorry, I don't mean to beat a dead horse here.
I have not heard that that's a technology that is like widely available enough for like home use, and I'm not sure why. I don't know how that works, that it, you know, it could be the cost of it, it could be how you use it, you know, because you have to remember, if they do it in personal homes, that's a whole nother level than doing it in a commercial use, you know, on a rig or something. Well, where rig, people are trained and, you know, can lift it. Like, I'm not sure what's involved, I'm just guessing, but hopefully I think more and more things will happen. You know what I mean? It's going to be something that we're all working on.
We're seeing a little bit of a challenge with even homeowners associations. You mentioned before about how HOAs, I'm sure there's obviously good ones that do it properly, let's say, actually are reaping some benefits from that landscaping, et cetera. But there are some that are, it's a bit challenging because these HOA dues typically cover insurance. And I know that I've seen a few HOA homeowner association dues go up.
Oh yeah.
not exactly good news for homeowners.
No, it's not. And it's, you know, it's definitely the rates in the next 2 to 3 years, they will see their rates go up substantially. And it doesn't mean they won't ever come down. A lot of that's going to depend on, like, I mean, I don't know if we're supposed to date this, but we are mid-October almost, and we have not had a lot of wildfire events, and we didn't last year. So, you know, it's like, you're kind of like fingers crossed that we can make it another month. Usually it takes to really feel like we're out of the woods on fire season.
Pardon the pun.
So, yeah. So that will make a huge difference if insurance companies don't have to pay out widespread. But of course, as you all know, this year we had the rains, substantial rains, and that brought out like any deferred maintenance, anything that you didn't do, that rain pelted right through it. So we had a lot of losses in water, you know, people that let the roof go and stuff like that.
What happens if there's a house that's uninsurable? You've got, are there houses that are actually uninsurable because of their
location? Like my daughter's. Yes. Yes. So that's why the FAIR plan was created. So it's called the California FAIR plan. And the insurance, not this current insurance commissioner, FAIR plan's been around for a while. But what it was is the insurance companies actually fund the FAIR plan. So the FAIR plan was created by the state to insure people like that live in canyons and stuff like that. You know, some of the canyons we have here, even in Orange County, Silverado Canyon, for instance,
yeah,
something like that. They just couldn't get anything. So FAIR plan would give them some basic thing so that they could buy their house, right? And just be insured from fire. Like, not everything's covered, but the basics are covered. If California doesn't fund that well with reserves, the backup plan is all the insurance companies doing business in California. So when they talk about expanding the FAIR plan, the insurance companies in California are not excited about that because they're the stopgap. They're the ones that are going to be there if the state grows faster than they rate for. Does that make sense? So now you've got the government in the insurance business, and they don't always do things well, in my opinion. And so that's a real scary proposition, and it boomerangs right back to people doing business in California. So it's not a solution, let me put it that way. It's something that's useful, like you said, for the uninsurable, for those unique spots where people go and they choose to go there knowing that their insurance will be limited. And that's okay. But a lot of people don't realize that FAIR plan comes right back to the insurance companies, and the insurance companies are required to reserve against what's happening over there. Well, and yet they have no control over it.
I'm not sure if you can speak to this, but I had heard somewhere that, for example, San Diego County was doing things, forest management, I think is what it's called. And it seems as though there could be a lot more done to prevent these fires. I mean, forest fires. I mean, I'm no expert on that, but just some clearing the brush. Have we seen any uptick on that being done, or do you know?
So I don't 100% know. I know California has had an aversion to that in the past. I thought I heard something after those wildfires that we discussed, 17, 18, 19, that Governor Newsom did put some forest management in the budget. But I don't know if you've traveled to any other state. I drove through Idaho up through like Coeur d'Alene area on the way to Canada. And I kept seeing fires everywhere. And it's the forest is what you're driving through. And the forest management was going on, and they were pre-burning and clearing the forest floor. So when you do that, obviously smoke is going to go into the air. And so there's some environmental concerns, I think, about that.
But not nearly as much smoke as a full-blown wildfire. So, I mean, it
right.
doesn't.
So there's a balance there that I think that maybe we could get to. But to your point, I don't think that California has done the job they were supposed to. If you compare them to another state, right? when you drive through another state and you see what they're doing to manage their forest, it's an ongoing full-time thing, right? Because the forest is always growing, it's always changing. And so these people are constantly working on it. And especially I noticed they weren't very far from the road, right? And houses and stuff. So there, you could tell that there were priorities set on where they were managing things. So that is an area where I think there's room to improve in California for sure.
I saw this somewhere and I was kind of surprised me. Is there a difference between someone able to get insurance for a property that they own, their primary residence, opposed to a rental property they own?
It's still considered in our category of a fire policy. When we talk about that, it's the same category, but the coverage is different because of course you don't have belongings there. It's your renter's belongings and stuff like that. So it is a little bit different. And a lot of times the insurance companies will pull back on that, or the rates will be different for something like that because you're not there. And so your renters, right, could create higher risk than somebody who's living in their own home.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So what's going on in the legislative branch of California? What's going on with the politicians? What are they doing to correct this?
So this whole process started happening with State Farm made the decision to quit writing in California May 31st. And many other companies followed. So there's what's called a legislative session in Sacramento. And because the insurance commissioner was not addressing this, the insurance companies started to have discussions with the governor, the governor's office, and then subsequently with legislators in Sacramento to say, if there isn't a solution for the state through the insurance commissioner, which there should be, could you do something about this? Because can we just appreciate the ramifications of this market collapsing? Not just are you affected by, hey, if I want to move, I can move. Hey, if I don't like my insurance agent or my company, I can just pick a new one. That's all off the table now. The market's shut down. So who does that affect? It affects you wanting to buy your house, right, or move, your kids wanting to buy their house or move. It affects Daryl Jones being able to close deals and his business and the people that he supports, every other real estate agent in this state, all the lending officers, all the escrow officers, that whole industry is affected by this. And the insurance industry is devastated. We're having layoffs. I employ people. I'm an independent employer. I'm a small business. That's State Farm's model in California. And I'm being hurt by this. If you decide to move, I can't write your new house. So you're going to have to leave me. So I just lost business that I can't replace. And the whole idea in insurance is that we do that.
Yeah. And then the primary loser is the consumer.
Absolutely. Because competition is everything, right? Choices. I mean, we live in America, like we're so spoiled here. Like we have markets, we have choices. And today you just don't have that. And it's a really awful place to be. So that being said, just the gravity of it, that's why you would see the governor and the legislators get involved, because everybody's waving the white flag. Hey, we're dying out here. People are losing their jobs. You know, the economy was already rough, right? Lending is tough right now. The rates are up. Like we were already dealing with all of that. How many houses are on the market? Like just, you know, it's a tough time a little bit. So anyway, they were working on a legislative deal. They didn't get it done by the deadline. It didn't get over the finish line, but they did have a framework of here's what the insurance companies need. This is what the insurance commissioner would like to see on behalf of the consumers, you know, the people. And there was a compromise. If we give you this, will you do this? And da, 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 da. So it didn't get done. But what happened subsequently is the governor issued a resolution to say, hey, all these bad things are happening. We need an insurance market here in California. It's very important, but we also understand what the insurance companies are up against. And so we need to solve this problem. And here's a few ways that we could solve this problem. Okay. And he kind of made a framework. Then the insurance commissioner had a press conference and he said, I'm going to do all these things that the governor said I should do. So basically the governor had to tell the insurance commissioner to do his job, which he should have been doing it anyway. And that's just Rhonda's little add snarkiness. You got to remember, like, my business is not doing well right now, so it's a little frustrating. But anyway, that being said, the commissioner did come out. He does have the power and authority in the state of California to change all of this. He is saying today that he needs, oh, maybe a year and a half or 2 years to do it. That as he rolls it out.
Can't they just out?
If you follow politics at all, 26 is when he will be running for something else because he just won insurance commissioner.
I think a typical solution by some of the politicians is just outlaw fires. Just you can outlaw fires and then we're done. Right. We're fine.
Yes.
Get it. That was my snarky remark in any event.
If only we could. So anyway, let me just say today we are waiting to see if he delivers what he says he's going to. And I think if he started to take action and the insurance company saw enough action that they could believe that they were going to get the relief they needed to come back to the market, some of them would start to tiptoe back in and see what they could do. But I got to tell you, I'm sure they're standing by and saying, okay, let's see if he does it. Because it's hard to trust somebody who hasn't been a good partner for 5 years, right? So that's a long time, people.
Yeah, so we'll see.
It's
so
a really long time.
Bottom line, though, is have you had to call homeowners and say, hey, we can no longer insure you? Or is it a matter of new policies or the issue?
It's only new policies. And that's a really good point because we don't want to leave anybody here today thinking that, you know, they're going to cancel. It could come to that. They could have a right to do that. But most of them don't want to do that.
They being the insurance companies.
Yes, of course. Yeah. I mean, we're in business bring value, to make money. Like, we're here for a reason, right? And State Farm has a huge infrastructure here. There's thousands of State Farm agents. Just drive around town. We're everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And there's lots of other agents from other companies. So they get it. But right now, and I can only speak for what I hear from State Farm, no inkling, no talk of what we call non-renewals. So you don't get canceled by an insurance company like abruptly in the middle of everything. What happens is let's say your insurance is going to come due for the year in December. You would get a letter from State Farm now saying, hey, we're not going to renew this time. We can't.
Wait a minute. It is affecting current homeowners who have insurance.
No, I'm telling you that right now, today at State Farm, they are not doing that at all.
Okay.
But what I am telling you is if it were to happen, you would have a couple of months, weeks and weeks to secure new insurance. So it's not like one day your insurance company just goes, you're out. That's not how it happens in insurance, right? You can't do that to people. You have to give them a chance to replace it. It's too important.
Sure.
So yeah, but right now I haven't heard of anybody non-renewing. Auto Club was doing some non-renewing over the past few years. And that may be why they're still writing, because they've been really prudent, you know, with what they have. But they're also very strict about what you bring to them. So they've tightened it up, is what we would call it, the guidelines.
Ensuring the cream of the crop, the houses that are very unlikely to have issues, I suppose.
Because I've heard of a lot of people, they would show up and be like, your house is underinsured, or we're not going to be able to do this, you're too close to that brush, you know. And so they made a lot of really tough decisions to clean up their, you know, their book of business. So, but at State Farm, I haven't heard that at all, that we're non-renewing anybody. We're holding with what we have and finding a way to make sure that we have enough reserves for what we have now.
Speaking about that brush clearing, is that something that the homeowner would actually have to do, or are there city agencies or?
It kind of depends on what's behind you. Some people own that land and some people don't, right? And then like we brought up earlier, is it the HOA, right? A lot of cities have these landscape districts, and you know, so you really just have to know whose property that is, you know, to make sure it's getting done.
And if it is a city or a county property, you call the county or the city and say, hey, look, I've got this brush 25 feet from my house. My insurance has gone up. And have you seen them typically come out and clear it out for the homeowner?
I'm sure they would. Yeah. I'm sure they would. A lot of them do it. because if you're in that type of area, they probably already know they have to. But there are some places where I have homeowners insured. It's certainly like out of the area a little bit, but they own all that land. There's nobody but them. And so they either have a tractor or riding lawnmower, or they'll just call in a team. You know, like you, like if you had your trees trimmed, right? You just call in a guy who has that equipment that can just swipe it. And it depends on what's behind you, but you know, it might be like a 20-foot barrier. A lot of times the insurance can be able to tell you, you know, how much to put, or, you know, you can just see what is standard for where you're at, but you know, it's a barrier around your house.
Wow. So it's unique to every house somewhat.
Kind of, or neighborhood, you could say, you know, cause like for you, it would be like that whole area, right? Cause there's rows of houses, right? So that whole like canyon area is owned by the County of Orange, the state of California, somebody.
Yeah. I think it's the state.
Yeah.
I'll have to be calling them when we're done with our podcast.
And since this is kind of a more local thing, like I would just add that I did have a chance recently to tour the heli hydrant in Yorba Linda, which is up on the hill. And the heli hydrant allows the fire department, OCFA fire helicopter, to load up water right there on the top of the hill. They don't have to like go over to a lake and come back. And so the firefighting ability is much more robust. And it's my understanding that Yorba Linda plans to have a second one in those hills, and that Brea is looking at doing a third one. So that would cover all those hills in the back, you know, where people are affected in this area, all over that, which is a really big deal. That would be really, really helpful, because that's going to be able, you're able to put out the fires much, much faster, protect homes, right, by doing that pre-water. Sometimes they do that. They get it all wet. So there's a lot of people doing a lot of good work, because they know, you know, that the fires are a possibility, weather, you know.
Yeah, all of that. Eventually it's going to happen. So, all right, well, good. Then I'll have to have you back in around a year or so to tell us what the heck they've done to fix this issue.
Yeah, hopefully. I hope it gets better. But, you know, it's like, it's not that you can't do anything, but be cautious, make it a priority to understand what is available. Because if you do have a loan on your house, I mean, even if you don't, homes are so valuable. You've got to have it insured, and there'll be something. And then what I'm telling people, get what you can now. And then when this clears up in a couple of years, go back to the standard carriers and get yourself a nice package, because the packages really make a difference. It's like they've thought of everything you didn't. And these companies that are writing, they're going to be not bare bones. I don't want to like say that you're not getting anything, because you certainly are. It's just, it's not quite as robust. It's a different kind of insurance. So, but the brokers are doing a good job. You know, the brokers are even frustrated, because, you know, they're used to having all kinds of choices for people, and they don't. You know, if you come to them, they may only have a couple choices for you. So
that must be very frustrating. It's kind of reminding me of the recent hike in interest rates. There's a saying that's gone out, is date the rate and buy the house. So the same thing with insurance. Just date the insurance for a couple of years until things hopefully get settled and better. And then you can go, go back to some reasonable rates out there for these homeowners and these consumers.
Yeah. And I know for me personally, like I would appreciate it if you and anybody listening to this that is really feeling what's going on, the effect that it's really having, send the governor and the insurance commissioner a note. It's really easy to go to their website and just contact them and just let them know, like, this is still a real problem out here. You know, that's really affecting all of us.
What's our insurance commissioner's name?
Ricardo Lara.
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't you tell the viewers and the listeners how they can reach you in case they have any questions regarding, more questions regarding insurance.
Rhonda? Yeah, sure. So I'm a local State Farm agent in Placentia. So you can reach me by contacting my office, and you can also find me on Facebook and LinkedIn at State Farm Rhonda.
State Farm Rhonda. Rhonda Shader. So that would help in case people need to know. Yes. Well, Rhonda, That's been really helpful. It's fun. I was so happy. I tell you, when this has been happening now for a few months, I thought, okay, we've got to have a little show on this here. And who do I know? Rhonda. Rhonda's the one to talk to. She's the expert. So I appreciate you coming on and enlightening everybody on this topic, because it's huge right now in the real estate industry. So it's very important.
Yes. And we'll all do our part. You can bet I'm fighting for change, and fingers crossed it doesn't go on too much longer.
Well, keep fighting, and thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody has any questions, please contact Rhonda. Or if you have any questions for me, please contact me, and make sure to subscribe to the channel. We'd really appreciate it. Helps me pay for Rhonda. I had to give her, a large sum of money just to appear for this. So it would help. No, I'm just kidding. In any event, thank you everybody for listening to another episode of the Jones Zone, and we will see you next show. And again, have a great week and God bless.
Thanks for tuning into the Jones Zone, your resource for building wealth and knowledge in everything real estate. If you found this information and insights shared in today's episode valuable, be sure to head over to iTunes to rate the show, leave a review, and subscribe so that you don't miss another episode. Remember, when it comes to real estate, knowledge is power. Stay informed and stay ahead of the game with us. I'll be back next week with even more expert advice and industry insights. Don't miss it. Thank you.